Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You will die in your sin." Apparently, he had not read Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. So we are in John chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 21 through 30. And before we charge in there, consider the who, where, and what of the passage. Who, it's Jesus versus the religious leaders. There's some of his disciples around. There's some Jews listening in. But mainly it's Jesus and these Pharisees. Where are they? They're at the temple, near the treasury. What's going on? Jesus is going head to head with these religious leaders. This is probably one of the most contentious passages in all of the Gospels. So, John 8, 21 through 30. Let me pray first, and then we'll read the passage. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you bless the reading of your word, the preaching of your word. May it be an encouragement to all those who listen. And I pray that it would be like a sword, that it would cut deep, and it would remove things that need to be removed from our hearts. And that it would strengthen us to walk in your ways, to pursue you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you seen the movie Peanut Butter Falcon? The whole movie is heading towards this big crescendo where a mentally handicapped boy tells the bad guys, "You're not coming to my birthday party." Now, here in this passage, Jesus tells the bad guys, "You're not coming to my party." So, beginning of verse 21, "So he said to them again, 'I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come.' So the Jews said, 'Will he kill himself? Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come.'" Now, I would say that's the wrong question. They ask, will he kill himself? Jesus told them that they will die in their sins. That's pretty serious. They are headed to the lake of fire, and they just totally dodged that comment. But since they asked, will Jesus kill himself? Now, Jesus does go willingly to the cross, but he's not going to kill himself. However, one member of the Trinity, the Father, will pour out his wrath on the Son, on Jesus. The Father will kill the Son as he unloads all his wrath against our sin upon Jesus. And in that sense, God will kill God. Isaiah 53:10 says, "It was the will of the Lord to crush him." But Jesus is not sidetracked. He sticks to the point. You guys are headed to the bad place because you are from the bad place. Verse 23, he said to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Now here, Jesus actually holds out an olive branch. He says, unless you believe, implying this doom that you are headed toward can be averted. Just believe. So, who gets to go to the good place? Who gets into the kingdom? In other religions, it's those who follow the rules. Those who pray five times a day. Those who don't lie, cheat, or steal. Those who give so much of their money or so much of their time. Those who do this or do that. But Jesus is so radically different. He doesn't tell us to do anything. He just says, believe. If you don't believe, you will die in your sins. If you do believe, all your sins will be forgiven. Who is this man who claims to be able to grant forgiveness or to withhold forgiveness? Verse 25, so they, the scribes and Pharisees, they said to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." Jesus is in complete submission to the Father. The Father sends him, he goes. The Father tells him the plan, he carries it out. Jesus did not innovate. He didn't get creative. The Father plans the crucifixion, and Jesus obeys willingly. What Jesus says to the world is what he has already heard from the Father. Verse 27, they did not understand what he had been speaking to them about, or they did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man," and that phrase, "lifted up the Son of Man," refers to the crucifixion. "When you have crucified me," or "lifted me up on a cross," "then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me." Now, if anyone in the world could ever be accused of being a yes man, it would be Jesus. Because he looked to the Father and he said yes every single time. Verse 29, "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." So he says, "When you have lifted up the Son of the Man," which begs the question, who killed Jesus? Jesus is speaking to the Jewish leaders in the temple, and he makes it very clear that those Jews would kill him. So the Jews killed Jesus. Jesus was tried in a Jewish court, but he was also tried before the Roman governor, Pilate. Pilate granted the execution, and the Roman soldiers carried it out. So the Romans killed Jesus. Israelites and Romans, both Jews and Gentiles. The two populations that make up humanity, Jews and Gentiles. So you could say the world killed Jesus. But why did Jesus go to the cross? He went to save us because we sinned. If we had never sinned, he would not have had to die. So you could say it was us. We killed Jesus. Our sin put him on the cross. But what did the cross accomplish? The cross was a satisfying of the justice of God's furious anger. God's furious anger against our sin that had heaped up to the heavens, God required satisfaction. So ultimately, God killed Jesus. He poured out his wrath on Jesus. Every last drop of his fury against my sin. Every last drop of his fury against your sin. Justice had to be satisfied because God is good. He is righteous and holy. Now, God could have just judged the whole world and thrown every human that ever existed into the lake of fire. And he would be perfectly just in doing so. But God didn't want to just show off his justice and his wrath and his power. He also wanted to show off the glory of his love, his mercy, his compassion. So, towards that end, the Father sent the Son. Now, it's the key question for any spiritual leader. Was that man truly sent by God? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son." And Jesus willingly, lovingly came and he died for you. Do you believe that? Can I hear an amen? Are you trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Are you believing in Jesus? Because if you are, welcome to the party. Jesus would say to you, "You get to go to my party." Verse 30, as he was saying these things, many believed in him. I always love it when I find a passage like that. There's only a few of them in the Bible where it says that many believed. And those are good ones. What a joyful day. Many believed. For you who have believed, I have a blessing to speak over you. All of your sins are forgiven. Every single one of them. All the most heinous things you've ever done, forgiven. The sins that you're committing this very minute, forgiven. The sins that you're going to commit later on today, forgiven. The sins that you're going to commit tomorrow, next month, next year, next decade, forgiven. They have all been forgiven. It is a really good day. Just believe on Jesus Christ, that when he died on that cross, he died for you, so that your sins could be forgiven.